Joining us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline is our friend Justin Adams, of course, from CBS 4. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. Justin, thanks for joining the show. And when you think about this quarterback challenge, look, you play tight end at the University of Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are the differences, so people understand, of catching passes from different quarterbacks, even if you're running the same plays?
Oh, my goodness. It's difference in how you run your route. It's difference in your steps. It's difference in how fast you need to get to your spot. And one thing, too, is, especially on out routes, how fast you need to snap your head back and get your hands ready to catch the ball, because there's some times where you need to snap your head back quickly because the ball is coming quick, or you could take that extra step and then you could bring your head back with your hands as well. That's something that you do see that is very, very different depending on how the quarterback throws the football. Let me give you a quick example. Bernard Jackson was a guy that I played with at CU. So Bernard had a cannon of an arm. And I remember one time where it was like the ball was a missile from his arm. Like, I would turn my head back and the ball was like right on me. And it was just crazy of how fast his passes would get on you. And there's other guys who, yeah, they threw hard, but they didn't throw as fast. So when you look at the difference between two guys and how to throw the football, that's definitely the difference.
Yeah, and what you're describing sounds a little bit like Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, two guys who throw the ball very, very differently. Receivers have talked about, the Broncos receivers have talked about how basically he just lays it out there as a little pillow for you. And Drew Lock is a guy more in the John Elway mold. He's trying to, you know, bury it in between your numbers. And they couldn't be any further apart when you talk about their play style. So just in the difference between catching passes, routes, I mean, all of this, if you're Jerry Jeudy, if you're KJ Hamler, if you're Noah Fant, how much does this set you back knowing that all of these snaps and reps in training camp are so important in developing that kind of rapport?
It does set you back a little bit. And, I mean, there's no other way to put it. No one else who ever played the game of football could just walk up and say, no, it doesn't set you back at all. You're always thinking of, okay, this is how this quarterback throws the football. So maybe, you know, you're still running the same route, but with some guys, you have to get to your spot quicker. So that does set the guys back a bit. I will say this, though. At the end of the day, it's how quick you can build a relationship with two quarterbacks. And I said this last week when I was on the show, and I'll say this again. If Drew Lock's your starter, because of the way that he's been injured his first 2 years, there's going to be a high probability that Teddy Bridgewater is going to start the season at one point or another. So you have to be able to build a rapport with both guys, unfortunately, this year, because even if Drew Lock's the starter, there will be at one point this season that he will get hurt.
The fact that I agree with you. I do think it's very likely that both of these quarterbacks are going to play at some point during this season. Does the order in which they do matter? Because it seems to me that if you start Teddy Bridgewater and you go to Drew Lock, you can go back to Teddy Bridgewater. But it feels like if Drew Lock takes the job and you bench him for Teddy Bridgewater, it's awfully hard to go back to Drew Lock. Am I missing something?
No, you're not missing anything at all. And actually, that probably will be the way that things go, because you want to see, okay, what can Drew Lock do? Well, you say start the season. I'm talking about start the season as of the first practice is when I talk about starting the season.
Okay.
If Drew Lock can make things happen, especially in the first preseason game, and you look up and you see that the same mistakes are happening over and over again, he doesn't make the right reads, he's thrown in the coverage, he throws the ball deep, off target. If he's doing the same things, you have to go to Teddy Bridgewater, because you have to make sure that in September, with three extremely winnable games, that you at least take two of those three games and give yourself a shot to at least have some sort of chance at the playoffs. If you don't do that and you lose, say, all those three games, or you go 1-2, and then you play up against the Ravens at home for the fourth game, and you go 1-4, you're looking at an extremely tough schedule, number one. And number two, Vic Fangio, your job is definitely on the line, and he may not make it past that Cleveland Brown game. So it's very important that you find out what you have in Drew Lock immediately. And if he's not the guy, go to Teddy Bridgewater and don't look back.
Do you think this has to go through two preseason games to find out, or can you find out enough in training camp practices and in the joint scrimmages they'll be holding with the Vikings?
You know, I almost wonder why. And this is just me, Sean. We know in any business that you're in, you know, in the radio business, in the television business that I'm in, I do radio too, but in the television business, you know, in any type of business, if somebody got it or not. In the same way, you don't want to waste your practices. You already are fighting for every moment that you have as a coaching staff. You should know after the first preseason game if Drew Lock is going to be the guy this season. After all the practices and everything leading up to that week, you should know if he's going to be that guy. At worst, you should go with the joint practices. But if you don't know by then there's an issue with the coaching staff. I'm not going to say with the players. I'm going to say there's an issue with the coaching staff. Make a definitive decision and go with one quarterback and go from there. Give your team a chance to say, this is the guy that we're going to go with. He's the leader of our team, the leader of our offense. And you know what? We're going to win or lose with this guy.
Yeah, this isn't really one of those situations where, you know, these guys aren't both rookies. Drew Lock mm-hmm. Obviously has had a shorter career, but, I mean, the Broncos cleared the deck to make sure he had all the opportunity to take that job, and no one was even in his way. He started for a full season. He started for part of another season. Teddy Bridgewater has been in the league for years. It's not as if these guys are completely blank slates where you have no idea what they can do. There is a history you could draw off of.
Yeah, there is a history you could draw with both guys, right? You can look at Drew Lock and look at the first season and when he was using play-action passes and when he was running the zone scheme and when he was cutting down half the field because he was doing bootlegs and rolling out and finding guys like, you know, Tim Patrick at the time, right? Noah Fant in his rookie year, throwing a ball to Cortland Sutton. You could see that the pluses that were happening there with Drew Lock. And then you can see how he, in many respects, took a step back, right? He was injured the second game of the season, came back a little rusty. Kansas City really blitzed him very, very hard. He had a tough time against the Chiefs at home. And then you can see at the last game of the season, wait a minute, here's this guy who threw for over 300 yards, three touchdowns, and even though Drew Lock didn't win that game against the Raiders, you saw, hey, if he gets the protection, this is what he could do. This is what he can be, the type of quarterback that he could be. But on the other side, you see Teddy Bridgewater, who's a guy that will never throw up Star Wars numbers. But on the other end, he's not going to throw a lot of interceptions as well, and he's always going to have a high completion percentage. You have to go into this thinking this. If we go with Teddy Bridgewater, do we believe that we have the athletes in Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant that we could just get these guys the football, even on short routes, and that they can go and break a couple of tackles and make things happen? If you believe that you have that on the outside, that's the quarterback that you need, because Drew Lock comes in with a low completion percentage, and he also comes in tied for the league lead in interceptions like he did last year. That's an issue.
We're talking with Justin Adams of CBS4, Justin Adams TV on Twitter. You mentioned the idea that Vic Fangio's seat is warm and it could get hot in a hurry. Is there reason to believe that his leash is shorter because you have two former NFL head coaches, Mike Munchak and Pat Shurmur, on staff?
I don't even think that Vic Fangio has a leash, to be very honest with you. I think to say that if he had a leash that had any length to it, that would be a little bit too much for me, to be very honest with you. Yes, you have two head coaches, former head coaches on the roster, but it's really all about one guy, and it's Mike Munchak. I wouldn't feel comfortable as a journalist, as a fan, let's just call it what it is, to see Pat Shurmur take over this team if it did come to that. It would be the Mike Munchak show. We'll go on from there. If that was to happen, Vic Fangio has to figure out a way how to win in September. I mean, there's no other way to think about it. He has to figure out a way when you go up against the Giants on the road, and then you have, the Jets at home, Jacksonville on the road, and then the Jets at home, you have to figure out a way how to win two of those three games. And honestly, you should be able to win all three games. It will be a little understandable if you lost to the Giants, because remember, if Philadelphia wins on Sunday Night Football, despite the Giants having the terrible record that they did, the Giants would have won the NFC East and went to the playoffs. So they were playing some really good football at the last part of the season. So that's one of the tougher games that the Broncos will have on their schedule. But you have to make sure you take care of business against Jacksonville or the Jets, or you can have Vic Fangio on a plane flying himself to another area, because he shouldn't be the head coach of the Broncos.
The best thing that could happen in this quarterback competition, I've laid it out to people, is that Drew Lock looks like the better quarterback, claims the job, and runs with it, because he's the guy that could potentially be the future at that position. At the same time, what we just talked about with Vic Fangio indicates he needs to win football games and win football games right now. If the Broncos were to be playing this Sunday, Teddy Bridgewater would start. That comes into the equation when the coaches are making this decision, isn't it?
100%. Everything comes into the equation. Everybody's job is on the line. It's not just Vic Fangio's job that's on the line. I know we talked about Pat Shurmur and how he could possibly be the interim head coach if that was to happen, if Vic Fangio was fired. But who to say that Pat Shurmur would have a guaranteed position, right? Let's say Mike Munchak takes over, and he doesn't like the way that the offense is being ran. Well, guess what? Pat Shurmur could be in a whole lot of trouble. We've seen that before. So this is one thing where you got to make sure. Again, Vic Fangio, you got to make sure the rest of the guys on the group, make sure you get the right quarterback after the first preseason game. It's okay to have a quarterback battle. It's fun to have the T-shirts and everything talking about we have a quarterback battle. But after the first preseason game, a decision needs to be made so that you can go forward and get ready for the rest of the season with your team.
We're talking with Justin Adams, Justin Adams TV on Twitter. And when it comes to that preseason, look, now it's three games. We know they go, right? The third preseason game is what we sort of call the dress rehearsal. The fourth is just kind of you're throwing out the guys, going through the motions, trying to find out who maybe the bottom half dozen guys who make the roster are. But how do you think this is going to be approached by teams, and especially the Broncos team, that has a lot of decisions to be made in a shorter window than they usually get?
You know, it's interesting because I think it will have a greater effect, obviously, because usually the fourth preseason game is that true throwaway game, right? Like, it comes on a short week after the third preseason game, and you just know that, hey, these guys aren't going to play. I think, Sean, what may have a greater effect than the three preseason games will be what happened last year, where we had more scoring in the NFL and we had no preseason games. I could see teams going to have that, like the practice that the Broncos will have going up against the Vikings, right? They're going to have that practice, but I could see more teams taking that more seriously than actually having the preseason games. I could see starters sitting out to make sure that they don't get injured and that they're ready for the beginning of the season based off the success of what we saw last year with no preseason games. So joint practices, to me, will hold a greater effect than ever before, and I could see more teams sitting starters out.
You know, it's funny because I've talked to a lot of people in the NFL, including some coaches, who actually will tell you that they believe that those joint practice sessions are better for evaluation than preseason games because you have more opportunities to line up the situations that you want to work on, that you want to see. For example, if you want to see how Drew Lock responds on third and nine, you have to just hope that comes up over the course of the game. You could just dial these up on that joint practices. It may be more valuable than the preseason games.
Sean, the only thing that you can't do is special teams, really. Like, you can't set up and have live special teams. You're not going to have guys run down the field live and special teams on a joint practice. Now, they may run down the field and they may, you know, give a little bump or whatnot, a little contact or anything else like that, but they're not going to go full bore like they would in the game. So that's the only thing that's going to be the change. But you said it right on the money. Well, you could be able to have your quarterback going and say, hey, we're doing 9-on-7 drill. We're doing red zone. We're doing red zone at the 10-yard line. We're doing red zone at the 5. Go and stop them. You know, you could have different situations. You can even have it on a different hash. That's one thing that we forget, too. Hey, we can have it on the far hash.
Yeah, you can just
hash.
Move it.
We can do everything. You can move the ball wherever you want, and you can also talk to the coaches, too, right? You can talk to the Vikings and say, hey, we're going to have this on our practice schedule, and they could agree with that well. Why? Because now they could set up their defense for what they want to go and see, and you can set up your offense for what you want to see and see what guys are going to step up as well. Those practices are so, so valuable, which is another reason why I say after the joint practices, you should have a pretty good idea of who's going to be not only your starting quarterback, but your starters everywhere else, and there should be no questions from there.
He is Justin Adams. Make sure you check him out on CBS4, where he anchors with regularity and, of course, puts together terrific stories. So make sure you check him out there and follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. Always good to knock this around with you, my friend. You have some perspectives that I think are really valuable, and I appreciate you sharing them with the audience. Thank you.
All right, Sean, I appreciate it, as always. And before I go, just to let everybody know, look, if you go to the preseason games or if you go to the practices with the Broncos too, make sure you look at everywhere else but the football. You will learn so much about the game of football if you look at other positions and not just where the ball is. It's going to be so much enjoyable. This is the best part of the year, so really love to be a part of it.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.